بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم اما بعد الحمد لله tonight is the 19th of December in the year 2017 alhamdulillah we're beginning the second week the eighth night that we're going through the exalted and dear life of the veritable sword of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Sayyidina Khalid ibn al-Walid radiyallahu. So the next section is entitled, The Last Action Against Our Beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as an unbeliever. Sayyidina Khalid ibn Walid radiyallahu, whose blessed name re-emerges when our beloved messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was making his way to perform the Umrah with around 1,400 of his noble companions radiyallahu ta'ala. The unbelieving Quraysh, they feared that our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was coming for war. Thus, they sent Khalid bin Walid radiyallahu together with a sizable cavalry of 300 men to stop them in their tracks. So just add a few details. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's had a dream. And all his dreams are revelation. And he's doing the Umrah. So the Sahaba are overjoyous because that's their home, Makkah. So, when they are setting out to do the Umrah, the unbelievers in Makkah, they thought he's coming for war. So they sent Khalid bin Walid with 300 men to stop the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his tracks. Upon eventual contact, it is related in one report that our beloved Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam had managed to bypass Khalid's original position when informed by his advanced scouts. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam appointed Abad ibn Bishr radiyallahu as a commander of a unit that was arrayed in opposition to his force. So simply put, Khalid ibn Walid sets out to stop the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with 300 men. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bypasses him, which is incredible because obviously, you know, he is the military genius. And eventually, he comes in contact, but Abad ibn Bishr is basically stopping Khalid's force from approaching the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is related in Ibn Asakir, Kanz al-Umal, volume 7, page 30, Al-Bidayah, volume 4, page 238, Tafsir Mazhari, Marif al-Quran, volume 8, page 68 of the English translation, Hayat al-Sahaba, volume 1, page 288 of the New English translation. It was the time for Zuhr, the Zuhr Salah. Sayyidina Bilal radiyallahu anhu thereupon called out the azan and the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam led the congregation in salah. Sayyidina Khalid radiyallahu anhu and his cavalry looked on. So picture the scene, stop in the report. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is praying Zuhr. He's leading the prayer. Khalid is watching with 300 men. He's observing the Prophet offer the salat sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with the 300 companions radiyallahu ta'ala. Sorry, with the sahaba. And later Khalid radiyallahu anhu said, we have just lost a golden opportunity to wipe them out whilst they were praying. But don't worry, soon they will be praying again and then we will strike. So look how interesting, Khalid is just observing the salat. And he knew that once they're in salat, they're oblivious. He didn't attack. But when he completed the prayer, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Khalid says, we've just lost an opportunity. Question, why didn't he attack? He goes, don't worry, because they're going to do it again. This time we're going to go for it. However, Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam descended, bringing down holy verses with regards to the salat of fear. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam then offered the Asr salah along with his companions in the manner of the prayer of fear. Khalid radiyallahu anhu thereupon said, we were impressed by this in our hearts. And I personally thought that this man is being divinely protected. So look what's happening. He's changing. So he thought, why is the salat changed? And the salat of khawf is different. You get some people playing, some people guarding. And he straight away thought, who told Muhammad that I'm going to attack? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he goes, this man's being protected. Khalid would later go on to mention to one and all radiyallahu in Ibn Asakir, Kanz al-Umal, volume 7, page 30, Al-Bidayah, volume 4, page 238, Ayat al-Sahaba, volume 1, page 288 of the New English translation, there was no battle from which I returned and did not think that my purpose was something else and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would soon gain power. Subhanallah. So Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu said, every time I engaged the Prophet in battle, I felt I was on the wrong side. So imagine in Uhud, he felt that. In Khandaq, he felt that. And then he says, I believed that soon he's going to gain power. So look at these very interesting statements he's making. One report, he's been divinely protected. Now he's saying, every time there's something telling me, what are you doing on this side? You should be on the side of Muhammad. Indeed, a definite change was now taking place in this most blessed man's heart. For Khalid bin Walid later said, radiyallahu, I participated in every battle against Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but there was not one battle from which I did not return with the feeling that I was fighting on the wrong side. This is in Al-Bidayah, volume 3, page 36. So, think about that. We discussed Uhud for 3 nights. We don't know what was going through his heart, but he himself said it. Even though they won the battle, they almost martyred the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in his heart, what was going on? What am I doing? I'm not under this. I should be on the other side. Khandaq, the battle of the trench, he participated. They tried to annihilate the Muslims, the capital. I'm on the wrong side. Now again, he's feeling it again. Sayyidina Khalid radiallahu anhu, however, pushed these thoughts to one side and did not give up. For he had now also strategically stationed himself in a place where he was in control of the wells and water resources. So look how interesting. The Prophet stuck in the middle of nowhere. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There's no water. Khalid's got control of the wells. Because what's he going to do now? Indeed, where our beloved messenger had encamped, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there was only one well in which very little water trickled. Sayyidina Khalid radiallahu anhu now watched intently as to what would now be the next move of our beloved messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Our beloved messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, seeing Khalid's cavalry in the distance, radiallahu anhu, and not wanting to start a battle, he made his way calmly to the well. Khalid radiallahu anhu looked on intently as to what he was now planning. What was he doing? There's nothing in the well. It is related in Tafsir Mazhari, Ma'riful Quran, volume 8, page 68 to 9 of the English translation, that our beloved messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, upon reaching the well, he thereupon rinsed his mouth with the trickle of water. So there's a little few drops. He took it from the bucket, whatever it was, put it into his mouth, rinsed, and he pitched one of his arrows as well. He took an arrow and he fired it into the well. Sayyidina Khalid radiallahu anhu then looked on in absolute amazement. And he was left speechless. He could not believe what his eyes were now witnessing. For as soon as our beloved messenger fired the arrow, water thereupon miraculously started bubbling up to the brim of the well. And the blessed companions all cheerfully drank from it. Sayyidina Khalid was dazed, radiallahu, bewildered. And he headed back and he informed the Quraysh about the events that had transpired. Subhanallah, it was not long thereafter that the famous treaty of Hudaybiyah was signed between our beloved messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the unbelieving Quraysh. So he's seeing, Allah Ta'ala is making him see things. First he sees the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he goes, he's been divinely protected. Something's going in his heart, I'm on the wrong side. Then he sees him, he shows him a miracle. He goes, what the... And then he goes back, imagine days to the Quraysh, he goes, listen, I'm going to tell you what I've seen and I've saw. He bypassed me. I was in an attack at Asr. The prayer changed. And there was no water. And he goes, I saw with my eyes. The water started flooding out of the well. And imagine the unbelieving Quraysh. You think straight away they're going to embrace Islam. They go, oh, witchcraft. But then what happened? Famous treaty of Hudaybiyah took place. So just very quickly. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was stuck in Hudaybiyah. And he said, whatever the unbelieving Quraysh agree upon and it leads to peace, I will accept it. And then the treaty was finally signed after a few people were sent backwards and forwards. So Suhail ibn Amr was sent from the unbelieving side And then the treaty was signed. And the treaty was against the Muslims. It looked really unfavorable. For instance, it said, no Umrah this year. Go back. Come back next year. No Umrah. Even though they're in Ihram. Secondly, if an unbeliever comes over to you, you hand him back to us. If a Muslim comes, we're not going to hand him to you. So imagine these really unfavorable terms. The Prophet goes, fine. And Umar radiallahu, he couldn't believe this. He goes, why are we signing this ridiculous treaty? Astaghfirullah. But eventually the wisdom came through. Basically, once peace is established, Islam spreads. That was the golden formula, meaning now nobody's going to attack nobody. They could go to the Quraysh and invite them peacefully. And the proof is in the pudding. 1,400 Sahaba came to do Umrah. Next year, when Makkah fell, 10,000 Sahaba were going. Where 8,600 companions come from. So this is why the Prophet signed the treaty. This happened after this incident. And the treaty was signed. So now finally, we can now move on to his embracing the glorious deen. So who better to relate how this magnificent man embraced the glorious truth than the great man himself? So where's this report? So this narration is a long report. It's recorded in Ibn Asakir, Kanz al-Umal, volume 7, page 30, Al-Bidayah, volume 4, page 238, Hayat al-Sahaba, volume 1, page 288 to 92 of the New English Translation. So Khalid bin Walid himself, he relates, radiyallahu anhu. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entered into a treaty with the Quraysh at Hudaybiyah. When the Quraysh managed to save their necks, i.e. by opting for a treaty rather than battle. So look how interesting. So in the report. He goes, look, Khalid knew that this was defeat for the Quraysh. They thought we've got a tremendous, we're the ones who are dominant. Khalid thought that treaty saved our necks. So straight away, he's making his statement showing he's almost Muslim. Then he said, radiyallahu, I then said to myself, what is left now? Where shall I now seek refuge? Shall I go to Najashi in Abyssinia? Rahmatullah alayh. But he is already a Muslim following Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the companions are living peacefully with him. Because I can't go to him. Should I go to Heraclius, the Christian Roman emperor, where I will have to abandon my religion for Christianity or Judaism and live with foreigners? Or should I rather stay at home with those now left here? Meaning without any authority. I was in this dilemma when the Messenger of Allah came to Makkah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to perform the Umrah they had missed the previous year. So it was interesting. This internal struggle had been going on for a year or so. Because don't forget, come back next year for the Umrah. So you get the impression that he's having a quick thought. No, all year he's thinking about this. Where should I go? Because when I was thinking this, he's approaching sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I thus made myself scarce and did not want to even see them enter Makkah. And I headed for the mountains. Makkah is mountainous. So he goes, I can't be here. I don't want to even look at them. I'll go to the mountains. I'll have a little watch what's happening. Nobody can see me. My brother Walid ibn al-Walid, radiyallahu anhu, also arrived in Makkah with the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he searched for me. In one report, in Hafiz ibn al-Athir, in his Asad al-Ghaba, 5-4-3-4, Walid, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said to him, where is your brother? Where is Khalid ibn Walid? O Walid, I can't see him, radiyallahu anhu. He was unable to find me, my brother. He thus left a letter for me, which read, so imagine, they did the Umrah, he's still scarce, nobody come. Where is Khalid? In the mountains. But he's watching them. And then the brother was given a letter. He goes, get this letter to Khalid somehow. The letter reached me, and it was written, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the supremely merciful, the most kind. I have seen nothing more astonishing than the fact that someone as intelligent as you has not decided to embrace Islam. How can anyone remain in the dark about a religion as great as Islam? When the Messenger of Allah asked where you were, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I informed him that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will soon bring him, ya Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he responded to me, how can a person like Khalid radiallahu anhu remain unaware of a religion like Islam? It would certainly be best for him to spend his efforts and energy with the Muslims. And we shall honor him by putting him ahead of others. Oh my brother, you have already missed tremendous opportunities. So please make amends now without further delay. That was the letter. So let's look at this letter. So who's wrote the letter? His brother. It wasn't the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His brother wrote the letter. So look how strange. Brother can't even give him the letter. He's that scarce. So he knows who to give it to. He goes, look, when you see my brother, make sure you give this letter to him. He gets it. And the brothers, what did he say? And isn't that so true about every non-Muslim? Any intelligent person, how can you not become Muslim? That's the beauty of our religion. It goes with your science. It goes with understanding. Nothing strange. The core belief everybody understands. It's not like the Trinity. Right? He goes, how can an intelligent person not become Muslim? And then he says, the Prophet asked about you, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And I said to him, he's coming, ya Rasulullah. In other words, don't worry, he's not my brother, but he'll come. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to you, said about you to me. He goes, how can a person like Khalid remain unaware of a religion like Islam? And if he puts his energy into Islam, we will honor him by putting him ahead of others. Meaning, he'll have embraced Islam late, but I will still put him under the charge of senior companions. Then he says, come, you've lost too much. And that was the letter. The report continues. After reading this letter, I was inspired to leave for Al-Madinah, and my inclination towards Islam increased. Indeed, it pleased me to know that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had actually inquired about me. Because this pleased me. SubhanAllah, during this time, I had a dream, Khalid said. I had a dream. And I was in a very constricted and drought-stricken land, after which I went to a land that was vast and fertile. This, I thought, is certainly a true dream. I thought I will definitely relate this dream to Abu Bakr when I reach Medina. So look what's happened. He wants to go now. He's in Makkah. He goes, the Prophet's in Medina. I'm going. Well, Allah Ta'ala gave him a dream. And he, obviously, he seems straightforward. A dark, constricted land to a vast, fertile land. And what did he say? I'll go to Abu Bakr. Means he had a good connection with Abu Bakr, like his father, Walid. Later, when I related it, Abu Bakr explained it to me, radiyallahu anhu. Your leaving the place was the guidance Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you towards Islam. And the constricted place was the shirk you had been involved with before. Then he went on to explain what happened. When I had made my mind to leave for the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I wondered who will accompany me. I thus approached Safwan ibn Umayyah, radiallahu anhu, and I said to him, O Abu Wahb, radiallahu anhu, do you not see the situation we find ourselves in? We are as few as the molars in the mouth. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has dominated the Arabs and the non-Arabs. I therefore feel we should meet him and follow him. His honor shall become ours. Safwan, radiallahu anhu, however, vehemently rejected the offer. And he said, I will never follow him, even though I am the last person on this earth. I left him and I thought to myself, his brother and father had been killed in Badr. I and his uncle at Uhud, he bears a huge grudge. Let's stop this. So Khalid is thinking, I need to take people with me. Now why is he wanting people to go? Because he wants to please the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So obviously he's got his friends. Safwan ibn Umayyah is one of his, you know, colleagues. But Safwan ibn Umayyah had lost his father in Badr. Father had been killed by who? Bilal, radiyallahu anhu. He'd also, his brother had been killed at Badr. And his uncle had been killed at Uhud. So he goes, I'm never going to follow him. So Khalid says, I understand. Right? He left Safwan, radiallahu anhu. Then he said, I met Ikrimah, Abu Jahl's son, Ikrimah, radiallahu anhu. And I informed him of what I had mentioned to Safwan, radiallahu anhu. His response was similar to Safwan. He said, I'm never going to follow him. Because why? Because his father had been killed in Badr, Abu Jahl. I thereupon told him, keep this conversation a secret. He agreed not to breathe a word of it to anybody. In other words, Khalid goes, I'm only telling you, but you're a friend of mine. You're a family from my tribe. Keep it secret. But something happened. It leaked out. Hafiz Waqidi Rahmatullah Ali in his Al-Maghazi, page 321. Abu Sufyan heard about this. The enemy chief, Abu Sufyan ibn Harb radiallahu. He heard from Ikrimah of Khalid's change of heart. He sent for both of them. He goes, bring Khalid and bring Ikrimah to me. When both the young men arrived, radiallahu, Abu Sufyan radiallahu said, is it true what I've heard? So Khalid responded, what have you heard? So Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu said that you wish to join Muhammad. Is that true? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Khalid looked at him. He goes, yes, why not? After all, Muhammad is one of us. He's one of our family. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abu Sufyan flew into a rage. And he threatened Khalid with dire consequences. But he was restrained by Ikrimah, radiallahu, who said, your anger may well lead me to join Muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Khalid is free to follow whatever religion he wants. Subhanallah, Ikrimah, the nephew, cousin and bosom friend, had stood up for Khalid despite their diverging views. So think about that. He's still pakka kafir. Right? But then, don't forget, it's his cousin. He goes, oh chief, be careful. If you go overboard, I might become Muslim. So Abu Sufyan, you know, he had a politician's mind. He thought, hang on a minute. So he stopped in his tracks. But look how interesting. Ikrimah protected Khalid, radiallahu. So imagine, he went to Safwan ibn Umayyah. He went, do one. He went to Ikrimah ibn Abu Jahl. He goes, you do one. Right? Abu Sufyan's giving him grief. Ikrimah protected him. I then returned home. And I had my conveyance prepared. Because it's a 250-mile journey. As I was riding out of the mother city, I suddenly met Uthman ibn Talha, radiallahu, and I said to myself, he is a good friend of mine. Perhaps I should inform him of what I intend doing. So he didn't even mean to bump into Uthman ibn Talha. He thought, look, he's calm, maybe he'll see sense. I then remembered that many of his relatives had been killed by the believers in battle. His father, his uncle and four brothers had all been killed at Uhud. So would you approach a person like that? Somebody goes, he's lost his father, uncle, four brothers in Uhud. So Khalid thought, it would thus not be appropriate to mention it to him. I thought, this is, if Safwan said what he said, Ikrimah said what he said, he's going to go even more berserk. But then he said, however, it occurred to me that there was no harm in telling him, since I'm already out of Makkah, meaning I won't be stopped. I therefore approached him and I spoke to him about the unfavorable results of our efforts. And I said to him, O Uthman, radiallahu, we are just like a fox in his hole who will have to emerge as soon as a bucket of water is thrown down the hole. I also informed him what I mentioned to my two friends earlier. Now look at these very interesting descriptions Khalid is giving, radiallahu. How is he describing Makkah? It's finished. Khalid is saying about Makkah, we're like foxes in a hole. Water is thrown into it. We're going to come out. Meaning, you must be a fool not now to join Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Subhanallah, he immediately accepted what I said. I then informed him that I am leaving this very day. My transport is ready and I'll wait for you at a place called Fajj. We then decided to meet at a place called Ya'jaj, where I was to wait for him if I arrived first. Otherwise, he would wait for me if he arrived first. So what's happened? They're taking their precautions. So he goes, look, I'm already out, but I'll meet you at a place. But then Uthman changed it. He goes, no, Ya'jaj, let's meet there. He says, if I'm there first, you wait. I'll wait for you. If you're there first, you wait for me. We then left our dwellings very early in the morning and met at Ya'jaj before the break of dawn, cover of darkness. We then proceeded together from there, and when we reached Al-Hadda, we met Amr ibn al-As, radiallahu anhu. After he had welcomed us and we welcomed him, he looked at us and he goes, "Where are you going, O Abu Sulaiman?" So we asked him, "Rather, where are you going, O Abu Abdullah?" Radiallahu anhu. He asked us again, he goes, no, rather you tell me, O Abu Sulaiman, why have you come out? So Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu thereupon said, "We intend entering the fold of Islam and following Muhammad." He responded with joy, "This is exactly what has brought me out, O Abu Sulaiman radiallahu anhu." So now, to add another report, to give you details. In Ahmad Tabarani, Al-Haythami in Majma' al-Zawaid, volume 9, page 351, states Sahih. Al-Bidayah, volume 4, page 142, Ibn Ishaq. Ayat al-Sahaba, volume 1, page 286 of the New English Translation. Amr ibn al-As, he's narrating now, radiyallahu. "On my way, I met Khalid bin Walid, radiyallahu. That was the time before Makkah had fallen. He was coming from Makkah. I asked him, 'Where are you heading, O Abu Sulaiman?' radiyallahu. He replied, 'By Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is now a settled fact that the man is indeed the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I am going to embrace Islam. It should now not be delayed.'" So look how beautiful. Khalid is narrating his report. And Amr, when he's narrating, it's the same thing. Why? Because they're all trustworthy. And look, this hadith is actually stronger from Amr. It's in Imam Ahmad's Musnad with the flawless report. "We then joined forces until we reached Al-Madinah, where we left our conveyances at a place called Harra." So they've traveled maybe over a week. They're tired, they're exhausted. And they get to the holy city's boundaries. And they actually wait at a place called Harra. This is where the volcanic rock is. In one report, it is related that our beloved messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "Makkah has given us its very essence." This is recorded by Hafiz ibn Abdul Barr rahmatullah alayh in his Al-Istiyab 1-406. So look how interesting. Before they've arrived, the Prophet said, "Somebody's coming." And they are the very essence of Makkah. Makkah has given us its soul. In one report, it goes, "Makkah has given us its liver." Now what's interesting, if you lose your liver, you're dead. You're going to have a kidney transplant, not your liver. So whichever way you look at the wording of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's basically saying Makkah has now taken his last gasp. The Quraysh is finished. Because these three men are the noblest of them. But some companions didn't know who he was talking about. It was a miracle. Because who is the Prophet referring to? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Khalid bin Walid, he said, radiyallahu, "I thus wore my finest clothes and I headed for him." Look how much respect they've got for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's tired, exhausted, over a week journey. And he's actually brought clean, soft clothes to meet the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because I put it on and I headed towards the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As I was heading towards him, my brother Walid met me, radiyallahu, and he hooked me. He goes, "Quickly, the messenger of Allah has been informed about you, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he's pleased with your arrival. Quickly, he is waiting for you, O Khalid, radiyallahu." We thus quickened our steps until we arrived in his blessed presence. The messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was smiling until I stood in front of him. I greeted him as the holy prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he replied to my greeting with a smiling face. I then said, "Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." He then called me even closer and he said, "All praise be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has guided you. When I saw your intelligence, I hoped that it would inspire you only to do what is good and correct, O Khalid." In other words, I saw goodness in you and it's come true. Khalid said, "I then asked, 'Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I keep thinking of all the battles I fought against you in the past in opposition to the truth. Please now make a special dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive me.'" The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looked at me and he said, "Embracing Islam obliterates all previous sins, O Khalid. I still requested Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, please, despite this, please make a special dua for me. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then supplicated, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, forgive Khalid ibn al-Walid radiyallahu for all the efforts he exerted to prevent people from your path. And Khalid goes, I felt like a big weight had come off me when he completed the dua. Thereafter, Uthman ibn Talha and Amr ibn al-As came forward radiyallahu anhuma and also pledged their allegiance to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Indeed, we had arrived in Al-Madinah during the month of Safar, 8 years after the Hijrah. Hafiz ibn Hajar, he added in Al-Isaba 1-413, Khalid bin Walid radiyallahu anhu embraced Islam after the fall of Khaybar in the 7th year after the Hijrah. There is ikhtilaf. Some say the 7th year after Hijrah, some say the 8th. By Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never equated any of the other companions with me when it concerned matters that worried him, i.e. in military matters. So let's look at this. So obviously three, they've all embraced Islam. Amr ibn al-As, Khalid ibn Walid, Uthman ibn Talha. After he's embraced Islam, he said, the Holy Prophet gave us a special task. Because we noticed we were different from the rest of the companions. And the scholars say in military matters. The Prophet put them in like military campaigns. Khalid, Amr ibn al-As, and also to some extent Uthman ibn Talha, radiyallahu ta'ala. But let's add a few details. So who are these three people? So obviously Khalid ibn Walid's life we're going through, radiyallahu. Amr ibn al-As, his story is amazing. He actually went as well. He goes, look, I can't stand it. I'm leaving. He went to Abyssinia. When he went to Abyssinia, he thought, I'm away from my home. Muhammad's done this to me, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he goes to the king. The king had a good relationship with him. Imam Ahmad's Musnad Sahih Hadith. So he goes to Najashi. He goes, do you see that man who just came to you? He was a companion of the Prophet. If you hand him over to me and I kill him, my people will be happy. So Najashi looks at him. And he punches him in the nose. And the hadith says that he's bleeding from his nose, Amr ibn al-As. And Amr ibn al-As radiyallahu anhu then said, if I had the power, I would have opened the earth to get away from Najashi. Rahmatullahi. And then he goes, oh king, if I've offended you, I didn't mean to offend you. Why are you so hostile? So Najashi says to him, rahmatullahi, he goes, oh Amr, do you want me to hand over to you the messenger of Allah? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Amr's looking, he goes, Najashi's become Muslim. Right? And then he goes, oh king, is it true? He goes, of course it's true. He goes, I thought you was an intelligent person. Then Amr's eyes opened up. Then he goes to Najashi. He goes, oh king, will you take my Islam by your hands? So Najashi goes, of course. And he became Muslim at the hands of Najashi. And the ulama said, this is something very strange taking place here. A tabi'in has taken the shahada of a sahaba. Najashi never saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If somebody asks you that question, has a tabi'in ever took the shahada of a sahaba? Yes. Najashi took the shahada of Amr. Then Amr ibn al-As then said, radiyallahu anhu, he was still with the unbelievers there. He said, I slipped away from them. Got onto a camel, got my provisions, went to the coast, got onto the nearest ship, went back to the Arabian Peninsula, and I was heading towards the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that's where he met Khalid. So look how amazing. They're coming together. Allah's bringing them together. They weren't planning it. Uthman ibn Talha, what do you know about him? The third one, radiyallahu anhu. He had the keys to the Holy Kaaba. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is doing tawaf. This is in Makkah. He goes, oh Uthman, can you open the door of the Kaaba? Can you give me the keys to the Holy Kaaba? He goes, no, I can't. And he goes, why not? So Uthman ibn Talha radiyallahu anhu said, if you get the keys, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it'll be a day of disgrace. So don't forget, this is early Islam. So the Prophet looks at him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He goes, what will happen when one day, O Uthman, you will give me the keys yourself? So Uthman's now messed up because they all knew the Prophet never lied. So he's thinking, he's messing them up. He's thinking, the Prophet, what's he saying? How am I going to give him the keys? Then what happened? 10, 15 years later, he embraces Islam. He's with Khalid ibn Walid, Amr ibn al-As. They come together, they embrace Islam. Makkah falls shortly after that. And then the Prophet calls Uthman ibn Talha, don't forget he's Muslim now. Because Uthman, can I have the keys to the Kaaba? So Uthman starts to weep, because Ya Rasulullah, of course, he goes, you can take it. And he goes, no. He goes, the key stays with you, and it will stay with your children for as long as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills. And to this day, it's still with his children. Uthman ibn Talha's children. And then the verse was revealed, hand back your trust to those who've been trusted. So look how beautiful. Now, how did this man become Muslim? Because it's a long narrative, very short, putting it in a very summarized form. He was the one who took Salama on the journey to Medina. We went through Salama's life, beloved mother. And the tribes prevented her from going. She had to stay in Makkah for a year. Her husband's gone, and they've actually separated her from her son as well. And she's crying. She used to go outside into the desert. She'd cry, thinking, Ya Allah, you know, I can't go. My son's still here. My husband's gone for 1 year. And Uthman ibn Talha saw, and he felt pity for her. And he arranged it. He went back to her tribe. He goes, look, what are you doing? He goes, you're putting, you know, you've made your point. Let her go. He goes, yeah, she can go. Then he goes to her, and she goes, I can't go without my son. So then Uthman ibn Talha goes to the tribe of the father. He goes, look, why are you keeping the son away from the mother? He goes, you've made your point. Eventually, he goes, okay, she can take the son. Then Salama takes her son, and she's going by herself from Makkah to Medina. Imagine, 250, 300 miles. So Uthman ibn Talha goes, radiyallahu, he goes, who's going with you? He goes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Uthman ibn Talha goes, I have to go with you. And Salama radiyallahu anha said, he went with me. He took me all the way. And he goes, he never looked at me once. He goes, he'd always be in the front. When I wanted to stop, I would make a noise and he'd stop. He'd camp away from me. He goes, I've never seen a better man than Uthman ibn Talha. He goes, when we got to Quba, Uthman ibn Talha goes, your husband's there. God be with you. And then Salama made a dua in her heart. She goes, I've never seen a better man. May Allah give him the deen. So some say it was her dua that made Uthman ibn Talha's heart become Muslim. So what's beautiful is all three have come together. It's like three different pieces on the chessboard coming together. And the Prophet described them as what? Because the liver, Makkah has given us his liver. Because these people are extraordinary. But the amazing thing was, they were junior sahaba. If somebody goes, if that's the liver, and the liver's junior sahaba, what does that make the senior sahaba? But they were in that intermediate phase between those who embrace Islam after the fall of Makkah and those who embrace Islam before. And there's other details which I'll mention tomorrow. So all I mentioned today was basically the last engagement of Khalid bin Walid against the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as an unbeliever. We mentioned this very briefly. And that was the final, you know, thing that convinced him to become Muslim. And then, of course, it was the beautiful letter of his brother and the Prophet's statement about him that convinced him to become Muslim. And Allah the Almighty and Glorious brought three of the great men together to embrace Islam. Question, why did Khalid ask for a dua when previous sins are forgiven? Amr ibn al-As, radiyallahu anhu, the same hadith. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Amr ibn al-As put his hand out to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So the Prophet was about to hold his hand, and Amr pulled his hand back. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Amr, what's the matter? He says, Ya Rasulullah, I've got a condition before I become Muslim. So the Prophet goes, what's the condition? And he goes, I want to know if my sins are forgiven. I've committed some horrific sins. If I become Muslim, is my sins forgiven? And the Prophet said, oh Amr, embracing Islam wipes out all sins. Hijrah, migration, wipes out all sins. And Hajj, you've done two of them. And then he gave his hand to the Prophet. So look how interesting, same incident. Khalid didn't do that. Khalid was to make a special dua for me. But Amr was like, he was, you know, fox of the others. He wanted that condition first. And then after that, Amr ibn al-As radiyallahu anhu said, I couldn't even look at the Prophet. He goes, why? Because after you do so much harm to somebody, you know, you just put your head down. But I've loved atwa. And he goes, if you ask me to describe him now, I will struggle. Right? So look at the change in these great people's hearts. But they embraced Islam roughly 20 years after the beginning of Prophethood. Look how much, you know, suffering the Prophet had to go through. But eventually these people became Muslims. And they became the greatest Muslims when you go through their lives, you know, subhanAllah. Are there any questions you'd like to ask? Subhanallah bihamdihi subhanaka allahumma bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilaik wa bihamdika rabbika rabbil 'izzati amma yasifun rabbil 'izzati amma yasifun assalamu 'alal mursalin walhamdulillahi rabbil 'alamin bismillahir rahmanir rahim wal 'asr innas sa'a lafi khusr alladhina amanu wa 'amilus salihat wa asbahu al-haqq wa asbahu sirra sadaqa allahu.
Everyone, what was it?